Welcome to Kingsway International Christian Center Tirana, where we are raising champions and taking territories. We are sure this teaching will be a huge blessing to your life. For more information, visit www.kiccanada.ca. Now, get ready to be transformed by the Word.
God, are you happy to be in church this morning? Okay, I'm yet to get that energy back. Somebody say the power of one sacrifice. Okay, now it feels like I'm at KICC. The life is coming back now. Praise God. Now, as human beings, our default tendency is always to fix things. Whenever we see something broken, we want to fix it. Whenever we see something damaged, we want to fix it. Whenever we see something that is bent, we want to fix it. It takes a level of disconnection from humanity for you to see things in a particular way and to leave them. Are you still with me? During my medical training, I'll count it as training, although I was working already. It was during housemanship. I was sent to the psychiatry department. Now, the psychiatry department is a department that normally you will send four house doctors. Let me just put it that way. Four, all right, for one department, the one at Luth. You send four. The month I was posted there, for some strange reason, there was an administrative error that they had posted two people there. The second person that was posted didn't even resume for work months before, not just for psychiatry. Are you following this story? I'm going somewhere. So I just showed up that day, and they were like, is it just you? I said, well, I don't know. It shouldn't be just me. There should be four of us, because, I mean, this is psychiatry. All right. And they said, okay, maybe the next person will come tomorrow. Or next tomorrow. And then tomorrow came and next tomorrow came. It just dawned on me that, no guy, you are here alone. This is you here. And the more I interacted more with those psychiatric patients. Now, the range of the illnesses spans from very subtle to very serious mental issues. Praise God. Are you with me this morning? All right. But one thing that was common was, you will see people who in their normal life were well-to-do, well-educated, who had all sorts, who had properties all over, but they had developed this illness. Follow me. And then someone who commands millions or billions in businesses, you're looking at their bedside and there is no consciousness of the fact that this is not how it should be. Hello? They have lost the ability to want to put things back. You just get to the place, oh, Mr. This, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How is this? Are you aware of how you look? In fact, when we are examining them, we are trying to first look at how they come in. Some of them can't button up their shirts. Some of them can't take a bath for days. Not because they want to deliberately be yucky, but just because it doesn't occur to them. Someone actually said that mentally ill people see normal people as if there's something wrong with you. Like, why are you not walking fast with bread in your hands? Why are you people just sitting? See, you just sitting now. Like, what's wrong with all of you? Praise God. Praise God. But thank God that we have a sound mind. Praise God. Thank God we have a sound mind. So our normal tendency as humans is always to fix things. It's always to fix things. But according to God's original plan, follow me, we're going somewhere. What God created never needed fixing. Somebody didn't get that. What God gives doesn't need repairs. God is not in the business of giving gifts. You know, sometimes you get a gift, it's cheaper to throw the gift away than to get it to work. Some of you didn't get that. You know, somebody gives you a shoe, you just believe it is a good shoe. You believe it is a good shoe, but you know it is not a good shoe. And you just want to wear it by force. So you take it somewhere and they're like, well, it's going to cost you $12. To fix it and to adjust it. You're like, okay, maybe this shoe probably cost more than that. So $12, nothing. So you spend the $12 and then you take it back home. You're like, this shoe is not yet, it's not yet there. So you take it back. The person says, oh, you know what? There's another thing we need to do here. It's going to cost you about $25. You're like, ah, even though that it's a gift, at the end of the day, the money you spent fixing it is already more than the amount that the gift was bought. Praise God. But aren't you glad our Father is a giver of good gifts? He says, all that's good and perfect. It doesn't need adjustment. His gifts, that's how you know something that is from God. When that opportunity comes and you want to start rejoicing, ask yourself, how many people will this cause tears? Including my family, including my relationship with God. This can't be God's blessing. Thank you, devil. On to the next one. Hello? Are you in church this morning? So God's master creation never needed fixing. Never, in fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, you can open there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says that God looked at everything he had created, and he didn't just think it was nice. He didn't just think it was good. The Bible says God, now this is God whose standards are extremely, I'm not talking of God trying to be nice. I'm talking of someone whose throne is in heaven. I'm talking of someone whose city has streets made of gold. Hello? I'm talking of someone who has elders around him bowing and saying, holy, holy, holy. I'm talking of someone who, the Bible says that the earth is his footstool. I'm not talking about one continent. The entire universe is its full. So imagine how big he is. Imagine what it takes for him to be impressed. And he looks at everything he has made. He doesn't just feel this is nice. He doesn't just feel this is good. The Bible says God saw all that he had made, including Adam and Eve, including all of us creation, bundled as a seed in Adam. And God declared that we were what? Very good. Somebody say very good. That was God's verdict. Very good. He looked at us. He looked at me. God said, boy, what a man. Just that they have to wait. They have to wait until that year that is going to be born. Praise God. Praise God. All of you wishing that you were born at another time, it is a waste of wish. God in his wisdom knew that this is the time your world needs you. We don't need you to wear sandals and shekels. We don't need you treading in the wilderness. We don't need you, you know, doing all those funny things. We don't need you slaughtering animals. Some of you can't even stand blood. God didn't allow you to be born at a time where to atone for your sins, you have to take sheep and you don't hear. We say, well, here, is it not your sin? The priest will say, come on, go with your goats, go with it. I don't like blood. What do you mean you don't like blood? Am I the one that sinned for you? It's your sin. You will like this blood. You will bring it in. God kept us till this time. Aren't you grateful that in his wisdom he kept and preserved us? Praise God. Praise God. So God looked at everything he had made and he saw that it was very good. Now, there is someone who is irritated by the existence of good. He can't stand it when something is very good. He just can't stand it. He has to show up because the only thing that is good to him is anything that is stolen, anything that is destroyed, anything that is lacking of life. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. Don't be distracted. Let the kids do their movements. All right. Praise God. Praise God. So the devil is irritated by anything good. Whenever he sees your life going in a particular direction, he's irritated. He doesn't like it. Whenever he sees the breakthroughs coming in, he doesn't like it. Whenever he sees us as a church going from level to level, going from one dimension of glory to another dimension of glory, he doesn't like it. So the devil will always attack anything that is good. Follow me. So the devil shows up. Shows up. We know the story. I'm not going to go there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. God's world that he declared to be very good. The enemy shows up. And suddenly, for the first time, something needs fixing. For the very first time, something needs fixing. And let's see man's attempts to fix. Genesis 3, 7. Are you there? Genesis 3, 7. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Is that in your Bible? Hello? Is that in your Bible? The eyes of both of them, talking about Eve and her husband, Adam. It says, their eyes became open, and they both knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. All right, so let's follow the progression here. God creates something. He creates it perfectly. Nothing lacks. Absolutely nothing functions perfectly. The devil sees God's good world and he's not just happy that things are fine and things are rosy. He's not happy that you have a job. He's not happy that things are going well for you. He's not happy that you are increasing. He's not happy that you are manifesting in the fullness of what God has for you. He's not happy at all. All right, and he attacks. And when he attacks, we see here that there was a deliberate fall by man, and man for the first time, made an attempt to fix what God had created perfectly. Now, this is the point I'm making here, that man's attempt to fix what God created is always, at best, temporary and ineffective. Hello? Hello? So these guys, for the first time, discovered that they were naked. For the very first time, that we need to cover ourselves. And in their genius and brilliance, the best they could come up with were fig leaves. Fig leaves. Fig leaves. Fig leaves. Somebody say fig leaves. Somebody say fig leaves. Now, what are fig leaves? Fig leaves represent everything that we, by our efforts, orchestrate to cover the deficiencies in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Fig leaves represent everything that by our own efforts, we create, orchestrate, design to cover the deficiencies in our lives. All right. There is that original thing that God created. Now it's been depreciated by virtue of the impute of the enemy. And then every way that we try to cover or to fix or to adjust or to polish it, what we are doing is we are bringing up fig leaves. Fig leaves. Fig leaves. Praise God. Praise God. Many years back, there used to be a show on MTV. I don't know if it's still there. Maybe I'm the one that stopped watching MTV. It used to be called Pimp My Ride. Oh, it's not there anymore. So we still have folks that do MTV. Praise God. That was a trick question. I'm just kidding. All right. So the whole idea is you take one dilapidated looking car and then you give it to some, I wanted to say, badass. I don't know which one is even politically incorrect, but I've already said it. And it is in the recording. Praise God. All right. And they just fix it up and they make it look like something great and something. Now, many times we're able to find sophisticated devices, sophisticated fig leaves, that they won't look like a poorly done job. They'll look like a masterfully done job. But the truth is that you are still covering something ineffectively. Are you with me? Are you still with me this morning? So studies have shown that there are things that when a man does them, he can feel disconnected from every sense of worry and have a semblance of that state where his focus is just on one thing. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he was in prison. The other guys were outside. He was in chains. The other guys were free. Who should be telling who to rejoice? Think about it. They should be writing letters to Paul. Paul, the apostle, the servant of God, we know you've served this Jesus you love so much, and now you are in chains because of him. Be strong, be encouraged. Your God is with you. Who should be encouraging who? They should be encouraging him. Right there in the prison, in his chains, he was dictating. And so he said, tell them to rejoice. He said they won't get it. Say it again. Again, rejoice. Now, it takes something more than fig leaves for you to be in chains and for you to tell people outside to be rejoicing. Are you still with me? Are you with me this morning? I want us to follow closely. So what are the common fig leaves that we use in our age and time? Just to numb the pain. Just to give you that temporary sense of wellness. Just to make you feel like you don't have any problems and any worries in the world. Like the world is just going to be absolutely fine. You know, I've read stories of people who in one day calamity struck. I mean, we have a good example in scriptures, the book of Job, who in one day lost everything. Kids, property, cars, gone. Houses, gone. Everything literally gone. Some of us cannot imagine half of that happening. You already have told God that God, you not only, you must be a wicked God. I'm convinced. You must be a wicked God. You must be half of that. You must be a wicked God. All right. I've seen people where calamity strikes and they have absolutely two different responses. One person in one day loses his wife. I mean, sad story. I remember the hospital I worked a couple of years back. There was a plane crash that took some lives back then. And this guy's wife and two kids were on the flight. They're on the flight. And he was just there. Oh, they're going to be back soon. They're going to be back soon. It was at work. They're going to be back soon. And then the news just broke. There was a plane crash. Check the airline. Check the flight from. Everybody was looking. What's wrong with Mr. This? I can't say his name out. What's wrong with this, Mr. This? And then news broke. Everybody on the flight gone. The guy didn't believe it. He said, no, I need to confirm. I need to verify that it was that same flight. Before we knew it, manifest, they call it? Manifest. Manifest was out. You know, in that state, you want to cry, you want to laugh, you want to die, and you want to be alive. You are not sure what you want to feel. They couldn't hold him. Then he could hold himself. Then he couldn't hold himself. He just couldn't get it. Then they gave him some time to leave, you know, just get yourself. Months after, when the man came back to work, he was just like this. You know when someone is seeing you, but they are not seeing you? Miss Al. You know when you get home normally, oh, darling, oh, daddy, no noise, everywhere, quiet. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody else loses the same family and goes, kneels down and say, Father, when peace like a river attended my soul. Now, what kind of man in that kind of state remembers to sing a song? What kind of person in that kind of state remembers to sing a song? It's the kind of person who has gone beyond fig leaves. Fig leaves are temporary. They will make you feel good. But they are temporary. They won't last. What are the popular leaves we have in our generation today? Alcohol, very popular. Alcohol, I just want to drink the pain away. I want to drink the pain away. Statistics have shown that most of the people who are first timers at bars, first, one more, say two more. Give me one. It doesn't even know how we pay for the drinks. He's just saying, give me, this thing just makes me feel. Another one is drugs. You'll be shocked the extent to which people do drugs. Hello? Hello? Hello. Some people don't like this morning's message. My pastor, just say something else. Let's just say amen. And let's go. No, we have to talk about it. Because those things won't last. God wants to restore you to a state where he can look at you and say, what I created is very good. Where he can beat his chest and say, this one doesn't have any fake coverings. They are not addicted to it. They are not even, sometimes it's not even addiction. It's a sub-addiction. It means that you don't feel like I must do this now, but you need it to feel in the kind of way. People have approval addiction. Approval addiction. There are people that if you post a picture on the gram and nobody likes it, they will feel sick. They will just literally feel sick. Like, what is wrong with me? Didn't I slay enough? What's wrong with them? Don't they know what went into getting this shoot? This thing done? Praise God. Praise God. Somebody shout me, say, I'm complete. In Christ Jesus. I am complete. In Christ Jesus. I do not need the approval of any man. I don't need the approval of any woman. Praise God. If God says what he created is very good, then nobody's opinion matters. God's one like alone is 1 million. So just go home and sleep. You're fine. Hello? Praise God. Praise God. Some people remain in abusive relationships because there is a concept of covering to them. They just feel, I can't live without this person. Can we go a bit deeper? Can we talk about some things in church? Is it fine this morning? Hello? Hello? Praise God. A couple of years back, I was counseling a friend who discovered that the guy that she was dating was cheating on her. They were both born-again Christians. We were in the same fellowship. All right, so we're all born again together. And then she discovered that the guy was cheating. He wasn't cheating on her with a real person. A lot of people listen to these sermons. Can we talk about something else? But I think I know there's something here for somebody. Are you following me? If you guys, you know, gas me up, then there's fuel to do this. If you don't, we'll just move on. All right, is that fuel? Praise God. Ah, there's fuel from that corner too. All right, you guys like gist. It's not rev they are looking for, it's gist. Praise God. She just couldn't leave the guy. It wasn't particularly all that. She just couldn't leave. We were praying for her. Father, open her eyes. Let her see that this guy is bad for her. She agreed that it was bad for her. That was not the issue. But she just couldn't see herself with any other person. So probed a bit further. They said they were not doing anything. They said so. Because sometimes when some ties are difficult to break, you can be convinced that those ties are no longer physical. They've crossed the realm of the physical to the realm of the spiritual. And especially when a lady feels that this was the first person I was with. It was the first one that saw me in my nakedness. So no other, I can't stand it with any other. Let, if he likes, let him kill me. Though he slay me, yet will I stay. All right? Praise God. And the church needs to start preaching this words of, they are not words of affirmation. They are not words of encouragement. They're actually words of truth, especially to the ladies, God's daughters, that you are already valuable. Yes, you don't need any man. You don't need any status. You don't need to be in a relationship. There was a time that was the in thing on Facebook. In a relationship, engaged, then married. There was a time if your status wasn't via BlackBerry, you were not a human being. Now, does anybody care? All these things are temporary. You don't need anybody's validation to fill in it. You don't, you see, are you getting what I'm saying this morning? God sees you perfect the way you are. Now, any other thing you need to do to feel good, go ahead and do it. If you need to use any makeup, fine, use it. But don't do it to please any man or any human for that sake. Hello, am I in church this morning? Say, God sees me as perfect. He sees me as beautiful. He sees me as worth dying for. Can you imagine that? What dying for? Praise God. Praise God. Some people's fig leaves is work. If you tell them to go on leave, they can't take leave. Not because they're hard working, but the whole essence of their life revolves around that work. They can't imagine someone else doing it. They can't imagine someone else doing it. Some people, it's exercise. There is a void in their heart that they are trying to fill. Maybe it was a relationship that stopped somehow, and they're like, well, thank God I'm not drinking. Thank God I'm not doing any drugs. Thank God I'm not doing this. It's just to the gym. I see them going to the gym every day to the gym. The intention is not to lose weight. Is that is the source of their life in that moment. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you have to go to the gym to keep fit, please go. All right? Don't get me wrong. It's good. It's good to go. Praise God. Praise God. But God does his own fixing differently. God doesn't do temporary fixes. God doesn't do fixes that will need you coming for more. Now, let me tell you how the fix of the world works. The fix of the world will always need you to show up again. It will always need you to show up again. That's how fig leaves are. Leaves will always wither, depending on the season. They will be green when you start using it. When you cover yourself, it will be green. People will see you and be like, wow, man, you look great. Nice green leaves. You look like photosynthesis. So you look like chlorophyll, man. Boy, so green, all right? And you look good because you look covered up and it looks all green, all right? But they don't know that autumn is coming. They don't know that fall is coming. Where you look golden and you still look like you are slain. But then the things begin to drop. And there's real exposure for who you truly are. In that time, what the devil will say is, go back and get some more. Go back and get some more. So even though you've asked God, God, forgive me, I've stopped this, I've done it for the last time, you find yourself needing to go back for a little more because that's the nature of leaves. But God says, I don't do leaves. I do blood. Woo! I don't do leaves. I do blood. Praise God. Are you still with me this morning? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Genesis 3 and verse 21. Is that in your Bible? It says that, and God shed for them skin. He shed blood. He had to shed blood. Hebrews chapter 9, 22 to 28. Let me read from here because of our time. Hebrews chapter 9, 22 to 28. Now, what we are seeing this morning is that, let me not jump the gun. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 28. I'm just praying that somebody gets the message. That you will look back at your life over the past 10 years and you will do an audit and you will say, this relationship, there is absolutely no reason why I should have kept it. Only reason why I kept it is because I felt I needed a form of validation from this person. And now I don't need that validation anymore. I'm done with that relationship. I'm not going to try to force it. Say, this alcohol addiction, nobody is going to believe that I have alcohol. In fact, I can't even tell pastor because he won't believe it. He won't believe that. Me, with all my anointing, I'm addicted to alcohol, but now I receive victory over it. There are people, Christians, believers, who have nicotine issues. We don't know. They smoked for so long, they met Jesus, now they just do like gum or patch. But God is able to deliver completely. He says he saves to the uttermost. That's what his word says. So you don't see anything that needs you going back is temporary. That's how the devil works. The guy is so narcissistic and egoistic that he's not just happy to have people for worshiping him. They have to keep on, keep on, keep on. Even God didn't have that kind of relationship. God gave Adam space to breathe, right? He will come to Adam in the cool of the day, have a chat with him, then go back and be doing godly things. Adam was doing earthly things. Then later they will have a meeting. The devil? No, you have to be here. You have to be here. If devil is God for one day, you know that thing presidents do, or governors, governor for one day, or president for one day. If God should try it once, and devil is God for one day, what are we saying one day? Give the guy 1 minute. The whole thing will be all the planes. The guy will do Magneto. All the planes in the sky has gathered there. Guys, you've not seen anything. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Are you there? Trust me, we're a serious church and we're really serious. Don't mind all these digressions. Hebrews 9:22. It says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It says, therefore, it was necessary. You know, as I was meditating on this, and you know that God in the old covenant, let me just say this quickly. I don't know if anybody is going to get it, but I'm just going to say it anyways. God gave them shadows of animals. He gave them goats and bulls and cows and lambs. And for the broke folks, they had doves. And for the very broke folks, they had flour. Hello? Hello? Such that whatever it is you needed to do to get back into God's good books, in quote, or to become righteous, irrespective of how poor or rich you were, there was still room for you. Are you still with me? Now, all those shadows were just that, shadows. They were never good enough to atone for the sin. The Bible tells us, Paul speaking to the church in Rome, said, just as sin came in through one man, It was necessary for righteousness also to be imputed through one man. Meaning that for this transaction to be considered fitting and legally acceptable, it had to be like for like. Are you with me? So therefore, it had to be human for human. That is what we have been told. And that is actually correct. But the more I looked into this Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 28, I saw that for the transaction to be actually legally effective, it just didn't have to be human for human. It had to be spirit for spirit. Woo! I'm not in church this morning. You will get it someday. You will get it one day. Not any man could have shown up and said, I want to die for the world. Because that would have been human for human. The guy that fell wasn't just a man. He was spirit. He had the likeness of God. The only person that could take his place was God himself. Woo! These are the kind of things you say, and you know, millions are just rolling. But thank God for today. And thank God for the days of the millions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Because thinking about it, anybody couldn't just have died. Anybody could just have shown up and said, you know what, I want to die for the sins of man. Number one, where will you go to and say you want to die? Where? If you want to pay someone's bill, you go to the law court, you show up, you ask for the judge. Say, judge, where are you? I've come for this person, right? Anybody that has the money to do that can do that. All right, but this one, where do you go to? Where is the court? Where is the court you go to? You can't get there. Praise God. But there's one who could get there. It was actually from there. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews 9, 22-22. I pray that we'll be able to read it. And according to the law, most all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies, somebody say copies. So all these things were just like holograms, like ideas, shadows, copies. That's what they are, all right? Copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. It says, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Can you see what we are saying now? So not any man just throws there. Not anybody just goes there. He says, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Is that in your Bible? It says, and as it is appointed for man to die once, but offered is the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Wow, there's no time to break this up. It says the first time he came for just one thing, for sin. It says he's coming back again for something else, for salvation. Praise God. That salvation, is it doesn't mean born again salvation. It talks about a deliverance, a pulling out. It's coming again. It's coming again. It's coming again. But the emphasis today is that the sacrifice that Jesus gave is just one sacrifice. We don't need an annual sacrifice. I don't know if someone is hearing me. We don't need to do this over and over and over again. What we need to do over and over again is rejoice about that sacrifice. Is to thank him for that sacrifice over and over and over again. Is to invoke the rights of the sacrifice over and over and over again. Because the sacrifice is done, but it's your duty, it's my duty to invoke the sacrifice. Are you still with me? Someone shows up at the prison and says that Mr. XYZ paid for you and now you are free. He says, okay, now I'm free. He says, yes, I'm free. All right. It is going to be the duty of that person to step out of the prison and go out to live and maximize their life, right? Now, when did that person become free? Was it the moment the person stepped out or the moment payment was made? The moment payment was made. But first, the person needed to know that I have now been fully paid for. The person needed to accept the fact that I accept that I have been fully paid for. And then you step out and you say, okay, what exactly exists in this life for me to live? Because now I am no longer a prisoner. Now I am no longer in bondage. Now I am no longer a slave. Now I am free. Are you still with me this morning? Somebody say, I am free. So that sacrifice, one sacrifice. When you check the book of Leviticus, I check the book of Numbers, there was no idea that there would just be one sacrifice. There were multiple sacrifices. There was sacrifice and procedures just for you to be cleansed. There was sacrifice and procedures if you committed adultery. There was the one for fornication. There was the one for blasphemy. There was the one for all sorts and punishments and all of those. And now God is saying that I have looked at every possible thing that could go wrong, and I bundled it into one acceptable sacrifice. And I consider that sacrifice good enough. Woo! It's good enough. It's good enough. It's acceptable. You know why it's acceptable? The person who decides whether it's a rigged exam. The one who is marking, submitted the script. So the grade is already known. God is saying, I need to see something that will please me. Because nothing else can please me, let me show up to myself. It says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Sometimes you get these things and you just wake up one day and discover that, man, sin has no power over me anymore. That thing I've struggled with, I'm done with you. You just stare it in the eyes because the sacrifice is already made. Like, I'm done with this. That sickness that has plagued your body, Prophet A has laid hands on you, Prophet B has laid hands on you, Prophet C has laid hands on Prophet D. You've gotten to Prophet Z and you're looking up to Prophet H for heaven. All right, and God is saying, the prophet I need laying hands is you. You wake up and get up one day and say, enough is enough. That's what is sustainable. We can't always invite Prophet B. How many times will you hold crusade for you? You get up one day and say, enough is enough. That sacrifice is good enough. In that sacrifice, there was healing for you. So it has to be good enough. There was protection. It has to be good enough. It has to be good enough. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 103. I'm going to read very quickly because of our time. Psalm 103. Psalms. Praise God. Praise God. Are you still in church this morning? Are you sure? Psalms chapter 103. I'm reading from verse 1 to 5. Now, this is the psalmist who is prophetically picturing the essence of a sacrifice. And then is describing what our response should be to that sacrifice. Are you with me here? So let's read it with that consciousness. It says, bless the Lord. Why are we blessing the Lord? Because that was the acceptable sacrifice, right? So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Somebody say his benefits. Somebody say his benefits. It means that the one-time sacrifice that he did came with benefits. It was not just a sacrifice for sin, it was a sacrifice for deliverance. It was not just a sacrifice for sin, it was a sacrifice for healing. It was not just a sacrifice for sin, it was a sacrifice for deliverance. It was a sacrifice for protection. It was also a sacrifice for prosperity. Forget not all his benefits. It says, who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Same sacrifice. Who redeems your life from destruction? Same sacrifice. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Same sacrifice. Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Same sacrifice. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Same sacrifice. Are you with me this morning? Are you still with me this morning? Praise God. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus, where you are. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That song says, he paid the debt he did not owe. I owed the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I live a brand new life. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus, you paid the debt that I could never pay. Brethren, we need to stop moving around like debtors. We need to stop moving around like people who need help. We need to stop moving around like people who need pity. God's children don't need pity. Did you hear that? God's children don't need pity. It doesn't matter what it looks like and the world is saying, come, let's take care of you. See, holy, holy is too much. Let's fix you up. Let's show you how it is done. Your God that you have followed, how far has he brought you? How far has he brought you? Come, let's show you the way. The world, we don't need the world's pity. The world doesn't even know the way. Are you still with me? They don't know the way. Any outlet the world gives you is a pit. Is a secret pit. Any outlet the devil gives is a secret pit. Is a secret pit. It will look good on the outside. They will tell you, you know, it's just, you know, a community of like-minded visionaries, right? And we're just projecting on how to, you know, influence the world. Hey, it's a cult. It's a cult. Yeah? All those branding is cult. So we just come in, you know, before we go into this, you know, we have this tattoo, but it's a real tattoo. You know, we make a slice, just a little piece of blood, about 1 mil. It's painless. We have anesthesia. It's a what? It's a cult. Praise God. John chapter 3, verse 14. Let's begin to tie this up now. This sacrifice is good enough for me. I don't know about you, but the sacrifice is good enough for me. If you don't think it's good enough for you, that's fine. You are going to be left with fig leaves. That's going to be your best alternative. But this sacrifice is good enough for me. It's good enough for me. That song says, "Is enough for me." That man of Calvary. A lot of old songs just popping in my mind this morning. Praise God. I think today's message is an old message. It's an old-style message. It's not the kind of message that you know, Although it's the kind of message you'll be jumping on your feet about too. Praise God. Praise God. John chapter 3. Everybody knows verse 16. Everybody knows verse 16. So let's read 14 and 15, since you all know verse 16. John 3, are you there? Are you there? It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then the popular one, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? So we can see the thoughts leading to that. Jesus is saying that there is something else in the old covenant that symbolizes what you will need to receive the benefits of my sacrifice. He's saying that there was something that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. In the same way, the Son of Man, my sacrifice, is going to be lifted up. Now, the fact that I have made, and this is where I'm going to, I'm hoping I'm going to get this. The fact that the sacrifice has been made doesn't automatically mean that the sacrifice is for you. Because God so loved the entire world, he gave the sacrifice for the entire world, but not the entire world will be a beneficiary of that sacrifice. He says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, not everybody looked. Because it didn't make sense that that is what a good God should do. A good God should ensure that the snakes die. Not that the snakes bite me and I have to look. Numbers 21. I said we were tying this up, but let's just loosen it there, retie it. Numbers 21. I'm going to read from verse 4. I will read. It says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Can you see why their souls became discouraged? Because they knew a faster route. They knew a more direct route. Is it not promised land God is taking us to? We know the way. I use Waze. There's Google Maps. What is Moses trying to? Moses said, this is how God said we should go. He said, that's where we are going. Why are we going like this? He said, that is how God. So everybody just vexed. Plus you, Moses, and that's your God. Both of you. Praise God. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And our soul, that's a big word. The same soul that David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. This was the response of their soul. They said their soul loathes. Is that your Bible? That word means deep hate, deep-seated hatred. For this worthless bread. Do you know what worthless bread was? Food of angels. That's what the Bible called in the New Testament. He said they ate the meal of angels. Manna. Eating free food. He says, what is useless? Useless bread. Bread in the morning. Bread in the afternoon. They were looking for a balanced diet. They needed a buffet. You know, some chicken and some seafood. Praise God. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, listen, this is what Jesus is saying in the book of John to Nicodemus. It says, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Is that in your Bible? Somebody say, when he looks at it. I'm sure there'll be people there saying, it can't just be that simple. How can we just look at it? Some people are already devising means, you know, traps for serpents, how to create antibodies for the venom, you know, and all sorts. And God is saying, all you have to do is just look and live. All you have to do is look and live. I've already done the sacrifice for you. All you have to do is appropriate it into your life. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say, look and live. Somebody say, look and live. Brethren, that sacrifice is good enough for you. It's good enough for me. God so loved the world. All right. He made provision for the entire world. But I have made a decision that I'm going to accept that sacrifice as good enough for me. I'm going to accept it as good enough for me. Praise God. Just rise on your feet this morning. I say thank you for your blood. Thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for your blood. See, let me tell you this. There is nothing else worth thanking God for than for the sacrifice of his son. Every other thing is because we have his son. If it's for a new job, it's because we have his son. If it's for even a new car, even the very seemingly material things, it is because of his blood. His blood gives us life. His blood gives our life meaning. It gives us a sense of purpose, sense of destiny. His blood ensures that we enjoy health, that we have divine healing. Do you know how many times that we ideally should have died? Ideally should have died. Sicknesses that were not even as bad and had taken other people. But because of his blood, we are still standing. Because of his blood, we are still standing. Because of his blood. That sacrifice is good enough. In that sacrifice is a covenant of protection. It's a covenant of deliverance. I just want you to love up on your God and say, Father, thank you. Thank you because I don't need fig leaves anymore. I don't need the drugs. I don't need those addictions. I don't need those abusive relationships. I don't need those validations anymore. I am now free, seeing that your sacrifice is good enough for me. Seeing that your sacrifice is good enough for me. A sacrifice that you had to make just once. And thereby, you've sealed my deliverance. You've sealed my destiny. You've sealed eternal life for me. You've ensured that I will reign with you in glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We'll pray just one prayer point together as a group. And then individually, we'll pray another one. So if you can just hold your partner or your neighbor. Just hold your hands. And we're going to pray this prayer very quickly. If you have to be three, it's fine, but ideally in twos. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there is something in your life that you need now that sacrifice has already paid for. Did you hear me? There is something in your life right now. For someone you are holding, it might be a disease in their body. Guess what? It has been paid for. For someone, it might be early onset cancer, brewing, just waiting for 5 years down the line. So people are shouting, new decade, new decade, new decade. That disease is saying, it's also my decade. That trend in their family is saying, this is also my decade. They're showing up in a couple of years. But that sacrifice has already covered it. Did you hear what I just said? The sacrifice has already covered it. So you are going to pray for that person you are holding. You say, by the authority and the power of Jesus, by the authority of the power in the blood, I forbid anything that has been paid for by the blood to show up in your life. Do you understand that prayer point? I forbid by the authority in the name of Jesus, anything that has been paid for by the blood, I forbid it to show up in your life. If indeed this power has paid for your health, I forbid sickness in your body. If indeed this power and his blood and that sacrifice has secured your protection, I forbid any danger coming to your household. If indeed the power in his blood has paid for sin, I forbid any deliberate sin in your life. No more. It comes to an end. In the name of Jesus. We forbid sickness. We forbid everything that has been paid for. We actualize the covenant. We stand on that sacrifice. We stand on that sacrifice. And we decree that we are completely free. Completely delivered. Completely free. Completely delivered. Thank you, gracious Father. Praise and honor be unto your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Another group I want to pray for quickly. And the reason why I'm doing this is because God has greatness in store for us for the new year and for the new decade. You won't enter into it if you've not actualized this sacrifice. And you're here Maybe it's going to be those who will eventually listen online, or if you are here in the room. You know that if God is counting people who are born again, you know that you've drifted away. You know that you've drifted away. You know that you have drifted away. And you're saying, I've drifted away to things that couldn't even last. I've drifted away to things that couldn't even help me. I've drifted away to coverings of leaves when there is already a blood that's been shed for me. And you're saying, Pastor, if only you're going to pray with me this morning that I will come back, that I will come back, that I will come back, that I will come back into the fold. Or if you are here, you're saying, I have trusted God for my healing for so long that I have given up on it happening. So now I have drifted towards alternative methods of getting this matter solved. And you're saying, but now I see that this sacrifice is enough. I want to come back. Whatever category you fall into. Or you're saying here that now I've always been scared something happens to people in my family when we get to this particular age. You know, something just happens. Some form of strange accident or some form of strange havoc just happens at this point in time. I am approaching that time, and to ensure it doesn't happen to me, I have taken this thing. Although I believe Jesus is merciful, but I went to that place and I took this thing, but now I see that it's just fig leaves. I want to come back. Whatever category you fall into, I want you to put your hand on your chest and say, I want to actualize the blood, the one that is actually effective, the one that the effect is actually permanent. The blood that takes away the sins of the world. The blood that secures our deliverance. I'm not calling you forward. Wherever you are, put your hand on your chest and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray with you. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is recorded in his word. Hallelujah. If only you will look and leave. Let's just take this song together. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Let's take it two more times. Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you. One more time. Jesus, Jesus, the Son. Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree with your sons and your daughters who have come to your presence this morning, and you're saying, I don't want to start the new year the way I'm ending this year. I have drifted to things and to places that do not satisfy. I have gone in the direction of interventions that do not last. I've tasted those things, and now I know that they don't satisfy. I've gone the route of sex. I've gone the route of drugs. I've gone the route of alcohol. Now I know that they don't satisfy. And now I come back to the fountain of life, the only one who satisfies. And I'm saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I accept the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for me. I acknowledge my sin, knowing that my sin does not intimidate you. While I was doing it, you were there. You saw me. And you still loved me. And you ordained that in this moment, at this time, I will come back to you. I'm running back to you. Running back to your arms. I see your arms wide open. And I accept your sacrifice. We accept that your blood and your death was for us. For my brother with his hand on his chest. For my sister with her hand on her chest. I pray for you that you will be established in him, that you will see a love, an embrace, a life that will dwarf the best of your past. That it will be a new day. It will be a new season. It will be a new relationship. It will be as though you never knew him before, because you will see him in a new light. I pray for a revelation of his love. I pray for a revelation of his power. He's able to keep to the end all that come to him. You will not be lost. You will not drift away. You will not wander away. We pull you out from every hold of the world, every covenant that is claiming that he belongs to us, she belongs to us. We stand on the authority of the Most High. The Bible says that even the lawful captive shall be delivered. And this is one who Christ has died for with his blood, who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we break every hold of the enemy over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And I decree that you are free in the name of Jesus. Son of God, we believe in you. We believe in you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Come on, give the Lord a big shout. As I give the Lord a big shout.